And the US President Donald Trump is in Hanoi this morning, preparing for his second summit with the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The two leaders will meet for dinner in the Vietnamese capital ahead of official talks tomorrow. And high on the agenda there will be the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and ending US sanctions against Pyongyang. But already there are low expectations that much progress can be made.
I think it's going to lead to something very good, and maybe not. I think ultimately it will, but maybe not. And I'm not pushing for speed, but we're not removing the sanctions. And we're going to have, I think, a very interesting 2.5 days in Vietnam. And we have a chance for the total denuclearization of an area of the world that was very dangerous.
That's the US President Donald Trump speaking in Washington before he left for Hanoi. Jean Lee is an expert on North Korea. She was the first American journalist given access inside North Korea. She now heads the Wilson Center's Foundation for Korean History and Public Policy in Washington, D.C. Jean Lee, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Hi, great to join you.
So this could lead to something or maybe not. Donald Trump already dialing down expectations there, wasn't he, that he will make any big strides at this summit towards denuclearization when he meets with Kim Jong-un?
Well, he's certainly a little bit more realistic this time around than in Singapore last June. And really what it comes down to is how much has been accomplished by the two teams of negotiators, the North Koreans and the Americans, who've been on the ground in Hanoi for a number of days since last week, hashing out what is going to happen in that meeting between their two leaders. And really what it comes down to is, have they mapped out how they're going to, how North Korea is going to give up elements of its nuclear program in exchange for concessions from the United States? And this is precisely what was missing from that summit declaration in June in Singapore. So we'll certainly be anxious to see if the Hanoi declaration is more detailed and lays out very clearly what both sides are going to do in order to reach this goal of not only a better diplomatic relationship, but as you say, denuclearization of North Korea and economic help for North Korea.
So can we just briefly run through what both sides want? What do you think the U.S. really wants to achieve from this meeting?
They still say that their goal is the denuclearization of North Korea, the complete and verifiable. So what they're going to be looking for are very concrete promises to dismantle certain programs. One of them certainly will be the massive nuclear complex at Yongbyon. And they will be looking to send in international inspectors to verify that the steps that North Korea claims it has taken were certainly taken and that the world agrees that this is verifiable dismantlement. The North Koreans, for their part, are going to be looking for an end of war declaration. And this is something that we haven't talked about. But the Korean War has been going on now since a ceasefire was signed in 1953. So although we always think of the war as having ended, for North Koreans, it is very much alive. It is very much a living war. And so what Kim Jong-un wants is to declare an end to that conflict with the United States. Now, this would not be a peace treaty. It would be a political declaration, but it could certainly trigger the start of the discussion or the debate or the negotiation toward a peace treaty. And more importantly for him, for Kim Jong-un, he could take that back to his people and say, look how masterful I am.
But the Americans. What's so important about that? Is that just symbolic, or what's the practical impact of the end of the declaration of the end of the war?
So for him, it's huge in terms of propaganda. It's fulfilling a goal that his father and his grandfather weren't able to achieve and laid out for him. And also for him, it means that he can turn his country's ideology away from the focus on war and toward economic engagement. And that's something that's important for him in terms of his internal messaging. Now, in terms of the politics, it also opens the potential for him to put some pressure on the United States and South Korea to withdraw U.S. troops from South Korea or perhaps suspend some more of their joint military exercises. So that is the negative consequence of declaring an end to the war, is that it would give the North Koreans more leverage to push the Americans to withdraw their military presence from the region.
Would it change the DMZ? Would it mean there's no need for that, for instance?
Well, I think it's a very complicated area. This is an area that is just filled with landmines and hasn't been occupied or hasn't been you know, it's a very dangerous area. So I think that that area would most likely stay. But this is a very long-term process. As I said, this would be a declaration and not a peace treaty. So nothing would change in the near term. It would give Kim Jong-un the propaganda that he needs to tell his people, we are turning away from the war and toward building our economy. But it would certainly also start those discussions about how do we establish real peace.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Jean Lee is the director of the Wilson Center's Foundation for Korean History and Public Policy in Washington. Jean, presumably what Kim Jong-un would really want is the lifting of sanctions and an opening up or some kind of economic relief through this. We just heard Donald Trump say there'll be no end to sanctions unless there's complete denuclearization. But, you know, is this a question of who's going to blink first and then interpretation of denuclearization? Because is there any chance really that Kim Jong-un would relinquish all those moves they've made towards building nuclear weapons already?
That is a very good question. Donald Trump is talking tough as he goes into this discussion and this negotiation. Realistically speaking, I can't envision Kim Jong-un giving up all of his nuclear weapons. And to wait for him to completely give up that program, for us to verify all those nuclear sites, we've never had an inventory of North Korea's complete nuclear program, would take many, 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 many years. And so I do think that at some point they're going to, if they map out this path, they're going to at some point have to also include some easing of sanctions in exchange for some of the dismantlement. And so we will probably see some discussion about when and how that will happen.
Jean, we're out of time, but just briefly, Donald Trump has already said that he and Kim fell in love after meeting in Singapore. Do you expect Donald Trump to go off script and make some on-the-spot decisions here?
I can't wait to see what he says. It is a very interesting bromance that they've got going on there. But if it does lead us to a point where we do get some denuclearization, then I would say go for it.
Jean Lee, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Jean Lee, the director of the Wilson Center's Foundation for Korean History and Public Policy in Washington, D.C. And Donald Trump has arrived in Hanoi. He and Kim Jong-un will have dinner before the formal talks on Thursday.